Já si bych měla začít nejprve omluvou, protože vzhledem k tomu, že jsem byla pozvána britskou radou, tak jsem si připravila příspěvek v angličtině, abych tedy tím vyjádřila mimo jiné úctu a vděk tedy zvací organizaci. Ovšem zároveň tedy hlavními organizátorkami jsou pracovnice agentury GITA, takže mám teď dvě možnosti, buď budu česky komentovat svůj anglický příspěvek, nebo to prostě odříkám anglicky, což asi bude úplně pro mě teda nejjednodušší.
Tlumočnice, ty by z toho měly největší rozkoš, kdyby byla jedna věta česky a jedna věta anglicky.
No to nepochybně, takže já to nechám v té angličtině. Vzhledem k tomu, že jsem také počítala spíše s půl hodinou než s 20 minutami, tak se to pokusím jaksi brutálně krátit. So my contribution is supposed to really deal with the sort of situation in which we would look at media diversity issues from the perspective of the category of gender, right? And perhaps, although as I see in the audience, most people here are fairly familiar with the whole issues of gender studies, media studies, and its relation to gender studies. I might actually start, and I apologize because this document got reformatted as I was saving it on this computer, so there might be a little bit of mess. These are really just my notes, which I provided to the translators, and perhaps it would be easier for people to follow. I still believe that till today, one of the most useful studies of the category of gender, before I get onto the media aspect of it, is provided in American historian John Scott's article, Gender as a Useful Category of Historical Analysis. So actually, I indeed named my piece, my contribution, after this famous essay. And she's suggesting in this essay that originally, meaning still in 1940, my colleague Melissa used this Oxford Dictionary definition for the category of diversity. Gender until, say, the second half, or maybe even 1970s, 1980s, would be really considered, even in English, as a grammatical term only, right? And it wasn't until 1970s that we would, in mainly American, partially British scholarship, see this shift from a category of gender as a grammatical category to identify masculinity and femininity in language into what we would call an analytical category of social cultural analysis. And what the category of gender brought into our understanding of society and consequently also of media is that it kind of shifted this sort of denotation of biological determinism into what we could call cultural and social construction. Right. In other words, the way how we understand men and women is not just on the basis of their sex, of their biological determinism, but on the basis of their social and cultural roles, to put rather complicated issue in very simple terms. So perhaps the most important thing for an analysis of media from a gendered perspective is that gender is a constitutive element of social relationships. That's not just that illustration, it's not just something we kind of hang onto our bodies as men and women, but it actually does constitute social relationships. And perhaps the even more important part of the sort of gender analysis is that it is one of the ways of signifying relationships of power, right? And that sort of identification of gender analysis with power analysis is perhaps the most important, if you want, achievement which the gender studies, feminist studies, and women's studies brought into the existing academic understanding of society and culture. So we sort of tend to think of gender in three dimensions as a kind of like a combination of three interrelated elements. It's these include culture available symbols, social institutions, and subjective identity, right? Culturally available symbols, social institutions, organizations, which go beyond the very narrow concept of kinship and family and subjective identity. We tend to identify with certain social and cultural roles as men and women. What the gender category then brought into the existing understanding of society and consequently media is that it redefined old questions in new terms. It made women more visible as active participants rather than subjects, objects of history. It created analytical distance between the seemingly fixed language of the past and our terminology, opened up new possibilities for thinking about current and future social, if you want, feminist strategies. It sees gender as in relation to other axes of difference, oppression. And perhaps I would call quote here a Czech philosopher, Václav Bělohradský, who sees gender as a category which deconstructs modern subjectivity, which, as you can see, is a very strong term statement and may not go into very deep explanation of it. Now, we've heard so far quite... actually in-depth and detailed ways of understanding media diversity. I would still suggest that, to put things in rather simple terms, there are four aspects to analyzing media diversity. We can be looking at editorial priorities and representation of diversity. Much of it we have heard in our colleague's presentation a few minutes ago. We also look at diversity in media from the perspective of target readership of audience. Who are these media addressing to? Whom do they want to address? Whom do they want to call their attention to? Then there's obviously the issue of discourses. What kind of language do the media use while portraying certain kind of issues? And perhaps most importantly, or partially importantly, the issue of editorial staff. To which extent, right, does the staff represent given minority, if you want? And by minority, I mean simply a group in a society which is not seen as part of the mainstream. As we know, even the issue of minority would be perhaps very difficult to come up with, you know, one simple sort of definition. So it's really the representation, the audiences, the discourses, and the staff. And if we would put the category of gender into this very, if you want, simple framework, then we would indeed ask to which extent does certain media represent women? Does represent women, and not just women, but also gender relations, right? The sort of relation between the masculine and the feminine part of the society. We ask to which extent actually certain media speak to gendered audiences, to women and men. We ask to which extent certain media use discourses. How does certain media use language? Non-sexist, non-racist, and so on and so forth. And moreover, we also could look at the way how women are represented as employees of that certain media-based institution, right? To which extent, say, women or men are involved in governing boards of these media. We can look at the group of owners. And in the case of non-profit media, obviously, how is the management of the media being organized in terms of gender? So these are the kind of four aspects which we could, in very simple terms, look at while looking at media diversity from a gender perspective. And obviously, I understand the time is limited, so I won't be able to cover all these four aspects. But perhaps I should say at the beginning that when I was invited to come here, I was given this task, if you want, to look at the gender media diversity from the UK Czech perspective, sort of comparative perspective. Well, I have to say that this is indeed mission impossible, because comparing these two very different media spaces, particularly from a gender perspective, is almost impossible. And obviously the reasons for that are many, but as most people in this auditorium would know, is that the very history of gender-informed and, if you want, feminist approaches to media and society, at least since the 1970s, in both of these countries has been very, very different. I mean, we very often talk about, say, isolation of East European countries from the contemporary feminist academic as well as political development and so on and so forth. And this story has been written, I think, here quite a few times, so I don't have to comment on it any further. The bigger problem, however, I see in the kind of data we can get, right? Data which, as in any media studies field, tend to change very rapidly, and I would say this is not just a, if you want, characteristic of the, so to speak, post transitional, to use one of the terms, societies of Eastern Central Europe. But in all media spaces, the kind of data from yesterday no longer really tell us much about what the situation is about today. And all we can do is to really try to sort of identify some major trends. Data tend to be fragmented, data tend to work with very limited samples and are being collected on the basis of very diverse methodologies. So not only within certain spaces, say the British and the Czech, but in between these two spaces, finding comparable data is virtually impossible. And then I would say also there is a very different relevance of gender as a socially significant issue in these two countries, partially given by the history, but also partially given by, again, a very simple fact, which my colleague already indicated, size matters, right? In Britain, there is simply more individuals, academic institutions, social organizations, which do have gender as a kind of key topic of interest, curiosity, monitoring, analysis, and so on and so forth. So when Milica mentioned, you know, the proportion of minorities, in particular in Britain, the proportion of the female minority in Britain obviously goes as follows. As you could see, almost 60 million people, and the dominant part of society is female, which obviously is perhaps the case statistically about most countries in Europe, if you wish. And as Barbara Reynolds, one of the key media analysts in Britain, mentioned, how can you have a democracy and a free press when 95% of all the decisions made in the media are made by white males, right? And this is obviously a trend, the kind of, if you want, white male dominancy in terms of who is the subject who's actually creating the media is true about, again, most European societies, and neither Britain nor Czech Republic would make an exception from this general rule. So in much of the literature we sort of read about these issues in sort of contemporary British studies, we find these kind of leading terms, right, trends. Daily journalism, be it printed or broadcasted, is dominated by men. The most prestige media, the less women, right? This seems to be a rule which goes again across Europe. Areas of journalism reserved for women as if an extension of their domestic and socially assigned roles. Again, we can very easily prove the kind of issues which female journalists tend to comment on. And I'll show you some data which actually are available at the feminismus.cz website, which would prove the same trend in the Czech context. And regardless of experience, age, or education, women still tend to be paid less for the same work, right? And this is, again, like, seems like okay, but then once you start putting all these together, you could see that the scene of media production, not just the perception, but the media production from gendered perspective, does have a little bit of a problem, right? So what I had already mentioned before is that the major trouble, the gender trouble, is that much of the information, the data we have on gender differences in profession, in journalistic profession, are unclear and often are even mutually contradictory. So not only that they are incompatible in between countries, but they also within themselves tend to produce contradictory conclusions. So one of the key questions which is being asked, and if you want feminist media studies today, is had it been the case that there be more women in media, would they really bring in a different perspective, right? Again, as a question, it seems to be banal, but the answer to it is far from being easy, and I must say that much of the available resources don't actually agree on the answer to that question. We have all kind of data from, say, International Women's Media Foundation, which were collected in 2000, which says that 92% of women journalists responding to their survey in 2000 said that women bring a more human perspective to the news. Well, that's the view of the female journalists, Right. The question is to which extent, right, their personal perception of the situation is actually squaring with reality. So many women actually believe that the news, and I'm just talking about that one particular genre in the media production, is just the news, right? We should aim at accurate and objective representation of reality in the media. Nonetheless, at the same time, most of the female journalists would believe that they can bring a different, if you were more human, perspective into the news. So just that very kind of simple question tends to bring very sort of contradicting, if you want, answers. And then again, if we were to collect data from all sort of available resources, the Global Media Monitoring Project and Women's Participation in News, which was actually completed by Media Watch in Canada in 1995, women were 43% of journalists in 30 surveyed countries, right? Which is a number which doesn't seem to be all that, if you want, bad. I mean, apologies for this judgmental statement. Women were 18% of news subjects, meaning those who were actually asked for some opinion on news, which is yet another big issue of the gender perspective of media. And women were less than 1% of department heads, editors of media owners, but more than a third of working journalists around the world. Right? So again, you know, a couple of these trends which we may ask, we may question methodologies, we may question these data, but the leading trends seem to be more or less obvious. Perhaps on the UK scene, one has to mention a couple of things which we could sort of see as, say, current changes in the industry in the UK. Well, I was just going to say one thing, that as it happened, British Council brought to Prague for this conference myself, a Czech and a Serbian colleague to talk about British media. So perhaps that in itself seems to be rather a nice illustrative point of what we are talking about. Anyway, the thing is with the issues discussed currently is that perhaps as it is seen, not necessarily, there are certain changes in the industry, right, which, however, don't have to be necessarily initiated by female journalists and female managers, if you want. Women journalists do not inevitably practice either feminine or feminist form of journalism. That's something which we have to keep in mind, right? Current movements towards, and this is perhaps one of the main, if you want, change or some kind of trend, especially in, so to speak, quality media, a certain shift into personal, informal, if you want, softer journalism, right? A soft journalism is just a term which is very often being discussed. But that doesn't necessarily mean that this is a feminization of the industry, right? So that's the kind of like these things has to be distinguished from each other. And many female journalists tend to be very sensitive to being accused of being pro-women, advocating women, being different than the mainstream journalists. So there are all these issues which are combined also with another trend, if you want, and that is a certain decline in job satisfaction. If you do surveys with journalists who are on their first jobs, they tend to, if you want, claim less satisfaction with their position as professionals than they would have had 20 years ago. Again, this kind of data exists. And also a decrease in entry-level salaries, right? So even though these trends of, if you want, towards softer journalism, less happiness with the work, lower incomes when you go first into your first appointment, are not yet attributed to, if you want, gradual feminization of journalism. And by this feminization, I mean simply that increasing number of female students enter courses in journalism. And I wonder whether, you know, it would be a similar trend, say, here. But these trends of lower salaries, less satisfaction, could drive out of the profession male candidates, Right? That's a sort of, again, a very simple social, if you want, trend that men tend to go where more money is, right? That's as simple as that. So that could, of course, you know, cause further depression in salaries and so on and so forth. And this is all kind of discussion which, you know, I've got a small bibliography which I'm happy to provide on some of these issues debated in the, you know, currently produced books and articles. I found, again, finding some data, just to give you an idea, wasn't all that easy. A couple of these would include percentage of women employed as journalists in 1990s. In broadcasting, it would be 40.8%. In periodicals, printed periodicals, 55.6%. In newspapers, 22.6%. In all sectors, almost 40% of journalists are female. And these are data from the 1990s. Obviously, data from 1980s would be very different, much lower. In general terms, the other problem with at least the British media, and it is a gendered problem, is that there is an increasing number of freelancers working for the media, right? And that, of course, attracts again increasing number of women, partially because of that, you know, if you want more flexible working hours and possibility to combine this with families and so on and so forth, all these traditional explanations. But it also creates an increasing invisible group, if you want, of people, women with lower salaries and, of course, vulnerable on the job market. So this is just a, you know, when I looked and, again, not easy to find BBC staff. You find it only in special section where the BBC responds to letters to editors, basically, sort of more individual requests. In 2001, out of 28, almost 29,000 employees of BBC, and here it includes both radio and television, the data don't break into particular media, right? It'd be in total almost 43% female, 57 male in 2001, and in 2006, 50-49. So again, you can see this kind of increasing trend in participation of women, which again doesn't have to necessarily mean changes in the discourses, industries, and so on and so forth. This is just the trend. As you would know, perhaps BBC had introduced a very, if you want, strict policy of affirmative action. The BBC Equal Opportunities Policy is online. You can, too many words, I was going to quote from it something, but it's a quite a massive document with a lot of words, but not much data. That's quite sort of symptomatic of the situation as well. So if, say, in 1985, there were six female out of 165 executive and editorial in people in executive and editorial posts, in 92, it'd be 10% of female in senior posts, and in 2000, one-third senior executive and managerial posts given to women. So I was going to sort of, you know, provide some of the data from the Czech scene, but in terms of, you know, the sort of women as producers of media, women as subjects of representation. And again, as you would see, the sort of distribution of males and female bodies in this country in terms of population would be sort of in terms of rates similar as in Britain, slightly more women than men. There are some data available on the feminismus.cz website, which in fact will be presented here this afternoon, so perhaps I'll just scan through this very quickly. This is a project which I understand the gender studies sort of commissioned from a professional research body, and the data come from 2002-2003, so again, obsolete, if you want, and show only some trends. Editors-in-chief of major magazines published in Czech Republic in 2003, female, 41 female as opposed to 28 male. Again, you would see why that many women, but one thing to understand is that much of the monitor, many of the, well, about two-thirds of the monitored periodicals were actually lifestyle women magazines. So that might actually explain this. When you look at editors-in-chief of major dailies, obviously the rate is very different. 22 female as opposed to 42 men in 2003. So yet again, this there seemed to be the trend of the more important media, the less women in management. The major trend seemed to be confirmed in the Czech case as well. There are some data on public radio stations, editors-in-chief of particular departments, Český rozhlas, 2 women, 11 men, Český rozhlas, 2 female, 5 females, 1 male, and Vltava, which is a kind of classical music station, 1 female, 3 males. Again, as you may see, these data are very, very difficult to compare to the British situation, and all we could possibly say about that is that some of the leading trends seem to be confirmed in both of these spaces. There is, some statistics from the Feminismus, perhaps my colleagues from the Gender Studies would be more competent to comment on it. I would like to say a few words about the issue which was also raised here. And that's the issue of discourse, right? The issue of how do we talk about femininity and masculinity in the media? And the use of generic pronouns is something which definitely has been discussed in contemporary feminist literature in both the United States, UK, and lately also quite heavily in Germany. I understand it was one of the key issues of German feminist linguistics, the use of generic pronouns, and it's the literature on these issues is really vast, and both sort of English German materials seem to suggest that there is dominating trend of using the kind of generic pronoun he as referring to both female and males. Explicit marking of gender when the actor is female, the female judge, for example, in English. The use of gender descriptive terms, age, appearance, marital status. I mean, the whole issue of Miss, Mrs., right? I mean, who would ask ever a man whether he or she's not married when you're supposed to put in details on your credit card, for example, right? So this is not just the media, it's the whole public discourse, which is kind of reminding that's part of population of its place, as if. The way how women appear in the media as, if you want, victims of rape, those who are related somehow to distortion or exaggeration, event-centered news, that's the whole discussion about British tabloid press, sexual violence constructed as natural, inevitable part of everyday life in modern society. So these are the kind of issues which you would find very often debated in the British context. Here I could perhaps for the Czech context refer to the work of Jana Valdrová, who's, lecturer at the Česká univerzita, and her work on the use of the generic pronouns and discourse in media in the Czech press. And I think much of her stuff is available online in one of perhaps the most, if you want, gender-informed periodical Gender a Sociologie, published by the Sociology Institute of the Academy of Science of Czech Republic. And perhaps as the last thing here, as the final point, a few pictures, which is also from Gender and Sociologie. It's an advertisement. I think the shots are from 2004, if I'm not mistaken, for the Let's magazine quote. And this is a department store advertisement. So as much as for the public sphere in Prague. Okay, thank you for your attention.